Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone. Prevent Burgess from barking with a juicy bone. Silence the video ref and with the dressing room drum. Bring out the 8th place coffin. Let the mourners come. Let aeroplanes circle overhead, scribbling on a Sky Sports message the season is dead. Put primrose boughs round the white necks of the public doves. Let Professor Broomhead wear black cotton gloves. He was my north stand, my south stand, my east and west, my working week and my 3 p.m. Sunday rest. My moon, my midnight, my dufty, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong. The marquee stars are not wanted now. Put out everyone. Pack up Ben Curry and dismantle the sun. Pour away the league table and sweep up Matt Wood. For nothing now can ever come to any good.
Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, with the season now almost mathematically impossible for Wire to make the playoffs, where are my two podcasting mathematicians? Firstly, he's our Carol Vorderman of the pod, and he's counting down to Packerby statistics, taking one big number from the top and five small. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello there.
And also, think of a number and move over Johnny Ball. And no, his son-in-law isn't Fatboy Slim. Besides, there's no way to divide him up because he's our prime number. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
How are we, gents? Now, you're a bit ill tonight, Sam. You got a little bit of a frog in the throat.
Well, no, clearly I've got flu. Clearly.
Oh, dear.
I'm a man in my 50s. I'm a bit under the weather. I've got flu.
Is it French flu? Have you brought it back from the continent, maybe?
Could it be avian flu, even?
Have you been flying anywhere, Dennis, talking of avian? No.
No? Oh. No. Why would I be flying anywhere?
Well, you are flying to me soon. Not long now,
oh,
is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not long now. We've started actually, seriously started to look where we're going and where we're going to stay and stuff like that.
Oh, lovely. So
things
lovely.
Are ramping up.
Lovely. Yeah. I'm in the Hunter Valley tomorrow. I'm going out for lunch in the Hunter Valley. You know where you're staying, so I'll send you a little video. Find where you are.
Excellent.
Do
good
that for
oh,
you.
That'd be good. Be nice.
That's good. 169 vineyards in the Hunter Valley. So take a while.
I'm not sure which one we're going to. We're going to the one with the two blokes.
Oh,
I don't know where that, no. Whoever they are. So prime numbers. You started. I mean, just another thing. Is anybody listening to this now after that introduction from Hal?
I think it's a prime number that's listening to the pod, and it's a very small prime number.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just looking at prime numbers. If we would have finished on any of the prime numbers in the top 10, then we might have had a chance of playing at the playoffs.
Ah.
2, 3, 5, and 7. 7, we might have had a chance. So,
So we're not even a prime number.
No.
Oh,
no.
God. There we go. Shall I get on with it then? Well, I thought, you know, I'm going out for lunch today with Mrs. London. We've got to go to a lovely restaurant on the harbour in Balmain. So I've got no time to edit this. No. So keep your racism to yourself tonight, Sam. And we should get through this pretty Right. The review of Huddersfield. The team was Dufty, Jake Thulis, Wrench, King, Josh Thulis, William Sneed. Front row was Yates, Walker and Mattison. Stone, Fitzgibbon and Curry made the back three. Interchange, Thomas, Powell, Holroyd and Harrison. Paul Vaughan was apparently sidelined with a groin strain. Zach A gardener will miss the remainder of the season with a damaged hamstring, and Matt Wood had been sent to London on loan for a week. Here's the highlights.
As Cudjoe gets it down the line, here's Flanagan now with a little sidestep, getting it out wide to the right hand side, and Aidan McGowan goes over in the corner for the Huddersfield Giants.
If you twist and turn away.
Flanagan up against it here. Oh, they've dealt the ball down.
Fewless is going to tackle. The ball is grounded. I have a decision.
If I could, yes I would, if I could.
Matteson, quick hands again. Dufty now. Dufty with a bit of twinkle toes as King comes away with this one. Toby King going all the way here.
Surrender. This looking.
Another chance then. Wolford down the line from Cudjoe. Kick into the corner. Russell chasing after. Oh! Brilliant stuff from Jacob Gargay.
This lifeless lifeline to the wind. Leave this.
Russell into the chest and away to the left hand side. Gargay wriggling away again. Can he get to the line? Holds it up for Flanagan. Flanagan dabs it down for Huddersfield Giants. Work the ball down the line. Rush with the crash ball. Oh, there you go. George Flanagan puts the icing on the cake.
If I could through myself set your spirit free, I'd lead your heart away.
Final score, Huddersfield 23, Warrington 10. There were tries for Wrench and King. There was one goal from Sneed. Referee was Aaron Moore. Attendance, a measly 3941. Did anyone watch it?
I did.
Yes, I relented and watched it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I've only seen the tries, and that was bad enough. Oh, no, that tell a lie. I've got some kind of internal alarm clock that wakes me up for Warrington games, and I went to bed about 10 o'clock, and I woke up at about 3 minutes to 12 just as it came on. And I don't think I got through the first set of six before I fell back to sleep. And then I woke up about 4 hours later. Normally, I would then, you know, ignore the result, do a bit of a likely lads thing and watch it. But I couldn't be bothered. I just went straight to my phone, looked at the score, didn't surprise me. And it was done. Wasn't traumatised at all. But you two, oh, my dear. Bit different, eh? What happened, Sam?
Yeah, Sam, you usually go to Huddersfield. It's like your favourite place, isn't it, for a little away trip. Not fancy it this week?
Yeah. I don't think you believed me when about 3 weeks ago I said I'm done.
He's done, yeah.
Did you?
No, I believe you. I'm done.
No.
Are you done, Dennis?
No, I'm not done. I'm always going steady cart horse, always goes to the end. You know, you know, if you let all the club and everybody around it, you know, fall apart, which they are doing, it doesn't mean that the podcast has to do that.
So, no, that's true.
Air of positivity and professionalism.
Lovely.
Here.
Well, come on then, Dennis, give us some positivity from this match.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, first thing is that it never looked convincing, I wrote. And most of the match I was like going, what the fuck am I watching this for? And Mrs. Waywell walked past me and said, why are you watching it? And yeah, it wasn't particularly great. First half, though, thought, well, you know, we had a bit of a chance. We were a bit of, you know, sort of playing it. But we are playing Huddersfield. You know, this is the team that, you know, gets wiped out every other week. So, struggling for the positives. Sam, can you help me out with any positives?
The two big pieces of comment I took from this game were both from the commentating team.
Oh.
And the first one was just a bit of a throwaway line. It's been first 15 minutes done and nothing's happened really so far to get this meagre crowd enthused. And I felt that was a very good summary of the first 15 minutes. And in the second half, we've just gone behind and a ball goes on the floor. There's three Warrington men nearest to it and a Huddersfield man drops on the ball. And the commentator again said, that sums Warrington up. Nobody wants it. And I thought, yeah. I thought, and that's all I wrote down. I'd done some notes and they were the only two things I thought were worth keeping for today because it just summed it up. An insipid, disjointed, lacklustre performance.
I thought Dufty did well. I thought Dufty's... No one having that.
He had 19 carries for 201 metres. I'm starting to question whether are Dufty's horizontal metres counted as well, Sam, because he seems to get high metres every week. On the tries that I watch back, the Jake Thewlis has got Kevin Penny syndrome. You know, when Kevin Penny used to hug Matt King, he was always frightened to be on his own out on that wing. Well, Jake Thewlis has started hugging Toby King. There's no need for him at all to come in and help King on that first try.
Yes.
And he's right. Yeah. And King gives him a bollocking and says, get back on your wing. But they're little things that need to be coached. Surely they've got all week to say, let's pretend, you know, there's a bit of a gap between you and King and leave it like that. But so I thought that was a sign. And the last try where they drove the bus through. Oh my goodness.
Walker and Holroyd just looking
Walker
at each other.
Walker and Holroyd. And also, if you watch it back again slowly, Dufty very aptly sort of throws himself out of the way. Dufty's like, I'm having none of this. He can see it happening in front of him and he just keeps scooting across to leave the gap. All three of them are just,
One thing that's becoming evident, I think, is that I've noticed this with teams that are struggling, is that they tend to stand off in the defence, especially in the middle. You know, when, you know, the opposition's sort of throwing it about. We're just standing off, and I think that's evident now. It seems to be just something that's crept in over the past sort of six or seven games, is that...
Hesitation. Really,
it's not even hesitation. I think it's just sort of like laziness. It's like, right, well, just see what happens.
Not repetition from the week before.
There's no intensity, is there, to close people down and put pressure on the attack? That's the problem. And where does that sit? Is it it's attitude, really, isn't it? I suppose. Yeah.
Well, it's also coaching, isn't it, as well? As the I can't be bothered. We've been here.
How do we talk about this? I was like coming into this and thinking, right, you know, we've got to sort of like see this through. But it is hard, isn't it? To sort of talk about it. I mean, Sammy, that's given up, hasn't it? Oh, hold on.
Well, I was wondering whether to leave it till the following debacle that we're going to look at, the Salford game.
Debacle.
But Huddersfield, Castleford and Salford, the bottom three. We've played 7 times. We've won 3 and lost 4. Against the bottom three. We've got a losing record against the bottom three. And during that time, we've scored 130 points and we've conceded 140. And this is against teams that are conceding on average, Huddersfield this year, 28, Castleford 29, and Salford 43 points per game. And for me, more than anything, it is about attitude. My perception is they lost in the last minute. They put an awful lot of effort into Wembley and they lost in the last couple of minutes. We turned up at Wembley. I mean, ultimately, you could say we had enough possession to have scored more and put the game out of sight. But we put a lot of effort into that. And my perception is they've just felt sorry for themselves since then. They've got behind and they've thrown the towel in and they can't be arsed. That's my perception.
Do you think, Sam, that one of the reasons why they have lost the will to live does come down to the fact that they are so toothless in their attack and defence? Like, the coaching isn't there. And so you can only run with will for so long. But if you're not, you've just pointed out there, we had a lot of possession at Wembley and we didn't score because There's just nothing going on. There's nothing going on.
I feel that when you look statistically, we're eighth, but when you look at our defence, we are actually not that bad in terms of our tackle percentage. I think we're fifth tackle percentage. We're clean on penalties. But when you look at our attack, I've mentioned it before, our lack of ability to break a tackle, we're 11th out of 12 in breaking tackles. Only Salford are fewer. Now, if we're not breaking a tackle, we're not putting the opposition under pressure defensively. Mm-hmm. So you've got to look at some sort of guile and skill from your halfbacks. And for me, Sneed kicks very well, but he doesn't take the line on enough. And Williams takes the line on, but he's not got any guile. He's a running player. He's got no guile. He doesn't show sleight of hand. So if we've got a lack of ability to break a tackle, we're not putting points on the board. And to compound it, we're the second worst in terms of errors. So we're not putting them under pressure. Then we're making errors. Then we're under pressure ourselves. And one thing leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. The sound of inevitability.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beaten squad, isn't it? If you think back to that squad, I remember when I came back from Oz one year, I went to watch Wire versus Huddersfield. It was an evening game. I almost feel like it was a midweek game. Don't know why. But I think, you know, the core of that team, Monaghan was either at scrum half or at nine. And then we had Breers in the team. You had Hodgson at the back, who was just dictating where the ball went. He was calling it every time. And we didn't break many tackles that night because we didn't need to, because we just had walking tries. They would create that much space.
Because they'd draw the man, they'd run.
Yeah, but then you've got Bridge in the centre who can draw his man and pass it, the complete opposite of Wrench. You had King in there. You had Monaghan on the wing who scored for fun. You had the Andersons in there, both ball players. Like the whole team, a big front pack, Hill, Cavell, Morley. Like, the whole team was just an abundance of talent. This lot's not, unfortunately. I tried to call you in the week, Sam. We were trying to have a What Bevan call. Didn't get hold of you, but I got hold of Dennis. And we were talking about Mattison. Mattison, to me, seems a step above them all at the moment. Just the way he offloads, what he can do. But I fear if Mattison stays, he'll become another what Matt King was under Cullen. You know, he arrived as a professional. And then after about 6 weeks, I think he openly said, I just gave up because no one else gave a shit. They're all going out to Chester races or wherever they're going to, and I'll do the same. And it'd be interesting to see the demise of Mattison next year.
His sell-by date.
He's sell-by date. At the moment, he's fresh. He's still got that NRL squad training in him. His offloads are superb. And also, he's playing out of position. They're playing him in the front row in this game. But the rest of them.
It feels like a group. Again, perception. Feels like a group to me that feels sorry for themselves at the minute. Whereas last year, when one or two things went right and we got a bit of momentum and they were playing for each other and pulling the tripe out for each other, at the minute, I mean, I'm halfway through some podcasts about the First World War. At the minute, when you look through this team, would you want any of these in the trenches next to you? Would you, El? Yes. No. You look back.
So.
I know. Yeah, well, you look back previously, I mean, metaphorically, you look back previously when you had people like John Clark and Benny Westwood in the team, and you'd look at to either side, and you'd have those two either side, and you'd say, well, they're not going to let me down. There's toughness, there's steel, there's resilience. At the minute, you look through this team, they look flaky, don't they? They look like they're going to capitulate, unfortunately. Ooh.
Do you think this is because, like, we've got no forwards and everyone's just give up? Because, like, when you look at things like possession and like, play the ball in the opposition half the time, it's so... Basically, we've just got no go forward. So we don't have that momentum anymore, do we? With, like, you know, big boppers flying through and everybody running off the back of it and all that. That's gone. Where's that gone?
We're not... We're not winning the collision. We're not breaking the tackles.
No.
Is now the time for me to conclude where we can put all this right, or shall we leave that a bit later?
Leave it a
little bit later.
Okay. Because what I'm thinking is that we've somehow found out all these problems by just looking at some of the numbers and observations and stuff. And yet, over the past 10 weeks, the coaches haven't. So I know where you're going, Rob.
With job, aren't they?
Yeah.
Did Fitzgibbon play the entire game?
Did he play?
Well, he only made 3 carries, if he did.
I can't remember if he went off or not. It was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember that far.
The statistics, we lost every single thing. There wasn't one thing we won. Possession, they were 57%. Completion rate, we lost. Completed sets was appalling by both teams. Completed sets by Huddersfield was 35% and by Warrington, 23%.
Really? Wow.
23%.
That is horrendous. I've never seen one that low before.
No.
23%.
No. I mean, it shows how poor Huddersfield are. No wonder they're getting flogged every week. They're only getting it 35%. Yeah.
I'm going to go and check that. I'm going to check that that's not been updated.
They're always updated. What I put down, you can guarantee they will change. They tweak them. They're not normally huge tweaks, but they do tweak them.
Well, they are quite big. So it's your completion rate is 70% and 69%. The number of completed sets was 35 and 23,
right?
Not percentage.
Do you get that?
But still, 23 completed sets by Warrington is very low in a game.
I would say my completed sex rate is quite high. I would say my completed sex rate is about 98%.
Is that because you've got separate bedrooms?
No, I think when we come together, I'm about a 98% completed sex man. Occasionally, I have a blister, and that probably takes 2%.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's not delve into that. Let's move on.
Just on that sort of who's given up, etc. Don't you think there's a huge contrast in the Sneed that arrived and the Sneed we have now? Like the Sneed that arrived was bossing everyone around. You notice he was talking all the time. He was telling them to calm down. And I think there was in one game very early on, there was only about a minute to go before half time, and Philbin's having a bit of a brain fart, and Sneed tells him off. And all we need to do is put the ball up our jumper and play out the six, and we get in at half time in the lead. You don't see him anymore. It's just gone. He's just decided, I've had enough of this lot.
He did break his face, didn't he? So, I mean, he's probably thought, you know, he's not really going to put... I've also noted that the Huddersfield game is the first time I've noticed Curry now. He's just knackered. I think he's gassed. He just can't... what did he do? He did 6 carries and 25 metres. Mm. And he basically did loads of tackles.
He did finish from that game, didn't he? Whether he was hurt during the game or whether he just has succumbed to all the injuries he's been carrying.
He's gone now, hasn't he? Yeah, he's another casualty.
Should we have a listen to Sam Burgess?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that assessment there from John of a tidy first half but fell away in the second?
Yeah, I'd agree. It's pretty spot on. I'd probably say a bit more than fell away. We just melted in the second half. It's tough to watch. The second half really was.
How hard is it at the moment for your players and maybe even getting some of them motivated considering the position you're in, the fact that there's not many games left to go and you know, that the playoff possibility has disappeared long ago now?
Well, it's their jobs to be motivated, to become better and put their best foot forward every time they step on the field to represent the club. I mean, it's their job. It's quite simple. You know, it shouldn't need too much motivation. It's really a personal thing, you know. But, you know, we need to have a good look at ourselves because the second half today was just way below par.
As far as the rest of the season is concerned now, how much are you keen to try and find some positives from this side to make sure that you've got some stepping stones to build on for next year?
Yeah, we'll look at areas where we can add something to the group. Obviously, it gives me some freedom to give some players some opportunities over the next couple of weeks and see what we've got underneath the first grade. You know, we'll just, yeah, we've got to keep putting our foot forward. I mean, I'm chasing harder performances, some better quality games. I thought the first half was a decent game. We missed a couple of opportunities there in the first half, and in the second half we just, we had the, it was 90% territory their way, and I think 80% possession. I think we completed at 40%, so you just, it's extremely tough in those conditions.
Yeah, great to see Leon Hayes back in the 18, Sam. It's been an incredibly tough time for him. How delighted are you that he's in, back in the reckoning?
Yeah, well, he's played a couple of games, John. He's played two games in our reserves. He's getting more and more confidence. You know, he's a big part of the group. He's you know, he's such a great competitor. So it's great to see him back out and training and being a bit more consistent. So I'll try and get him some minutes shortly.
And you mentioned some of the youngsters that you've got there, Sam. I mean, we know that you, more often than not, if you get the chance, you'll give them the chance. He's one of those. You've got some really good youngsters that could be given more opportunities between now and the end of the season, maybe?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Obviously, our reserves team, they've got a couple of big games coming up, so I won't disrupt that. You know, but certainly where I can, I'll give a few opportunities to a few players.
Well, there he is. It's a broken record, isn't it?
It's not a lot he can say, is it?
It's not. He's a first time in his coaching career, and it's first time in a difficult situation. All coaches have it, and it's really tough. So, you know, what is he going to do? It is what it is, isn't it? I forgot what I was going to say. Melted away. That's what he said. Everyone's melted away.
Round 23 results. Leeds 28, Hull KR 6, Lee 38, Salford 6, St Helens 16, Hull 10, Catalans 38, Castleford 4, and Wigan 44, Wakefield 2. However, Wakefield were eventually awarded a 48-0 victory over Salford for their cancelled round 22 fixture.
It's a shame we didn't get that, isn't it? We would...
Yeah. the riches of a 48-0 win.
Would we have won the cancelled fixture?
Well, I did suggest that we were going to do a whole analysis of the game if it was like that, wouldn't we? And we would speculate who would have scored and you know, how it went and stuff. But I can't imagine we've had a victory like that this year, have we? We've not really dominated blown anyone away.
No. We blew Widnes away in the Challenge Cup. Oh, no, that's right. We almost lost. Forgot about that.
You know what? I am enjoying myself so much. I'm going to go and get another drink.
Well, shall I read out the letter, Dennis, while you're away?
Yes.
You do that. Let's crack on. So we opened the lines up to... We opened the DM this week to... Well, we said DM us if you wanted to write to us and have your say. And it was pointed out, thankfully, someone did come back to me and said, your DM is closed, which makes sense because we haven't had any letters for about 6 weeks on X. Some settings had changed. So we opened it up and we got a whole heap of letters, both on DM and I think we got a few on email, etc. And everyone said the same. Like there was no one really supporting this lot anymore. And so I thought this one kind of summed it up the most. I will say before we read this letter, just a reminder that any opinions, statements or claims made in fans' correspondence are those of the writer alone. We present this letter as a way to share our listeners' points of view. They don't represent the views of the host of this podcast. We cannot verify the accuracy of the content and we accept no responsibility or liability for anything said.
I'm back. Who wrote that? Is that Sam write that letter?
Yeah. Okay. Right, here's the letter. I won't say who it's from, but it says, to be honest, the seeds were sown last season with the appalling recruitment. Then Sam publicly stating his interest back in Oz was a massive fuck-up. George Williams too was looking at going back to the NRL, but he was blown off. Then followed the shit show that was Vegas. Now, from our trip, it was brilliant, apart from the rugby, that is. You simply cannot have a performance like that and then see your coach pissed up behind the decks in a nightclub. What message did that send? Would you see Sean Wayne doing that? Plus the embarrassing farce of Sam's visa, bloody pathetic, and again a massive display of just how amateurish Warrington are. Then, allegedly, Marshall and some of the players missed the flight home. Again, what kind of example is that? This is total lack of discipline was evidenced in the dropping of King and Philbin after they were explicitly told not to go out on the piss. But guess what? They did. It was dressed up as them both picking up an injury. Unfortunately, Burgess does not have the respect of the senior players because he could easily be labelled a massive hypocrite. Yes, we've had injuries, but how does that account for the lack of imagination, organisation, direction, drop balls, forward passes, and balls not getting anywhere near their intended target? Danny Walker has probably been the player we've missed the most, but he was playing in the abomination at Huddersfield. Our players are boringly predictable. We insist on going down the middle, but we don't have the players with the size or the strength to do that. Then it's another kick to the corner for their defence to outjump us, catch the ball, and off they go through our imaginary left edge defence. From where we finished last season to this, it's hard to believe or comprehend. Opposition fans don't even take the piss out of us anymore. They've got bored of it. Our CEO Fitzpatrick allegedly has no input on rugby aspects. Our average attendance went up this season, but I attribute that to giving tickets away for kids for a quid and friends for a tenner. You could argue Fitzpatrick's done his job. I'm not convinced. I have an horrendous feeling that next season will be the same, but with a couple of bigger props, who I fear are going to be another Cassiano and Dudson. I feel so disenfranchised, and for the first time ever, I'm not sure I'll be renewing my season ticket.
Would Sean Wayne play Shawaddy Waddy on the decks? I think I'll play Shawaddy Waddy.
Like that. Put his Elvis suit on.
How much is a season ticket, Sam? How much is a season ticket you've got on this year?
350 quid thereabouts.
Ooh. Inflation, how much next year, do you reckon?
£351.
Are you going to buy one next year, Sam?
I've got bloody hell. I think that letter... Regardless of, we can't, as Rob said at the start, we can't verify one or two of the things said there, but even the fact that that's a perception of what's going on just shows how we're all pissed off this year. Give me a couple of months and I'll come back in February and I'll be like, come on then, it's a clean start. But I tell you what, to use Rob's phrase, I've got about 15 of them on watch straight away from game one. You know, I suppose we're going to talk about the questions that are going to be asked. But I think they're all under big pressure from day one going into next year.
Are they under any pressure though? Like, is that the problem? Is there no pressure on them? Is that why they're so...
Well, I guess we'll see. I guess it's like a parent. If you threaten your child that you're going to withdraw privileges or you're going to do something and you don't go through with it, then you've made an empty threat or an empty promise. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Rob, is that representative of a lot of correspondence on this?
It's just non-stop. I mean, you know, what's not been thrown in there is the Dufty Musgrove incident. There's another one that happened. There's been quite a few others that have been thrown our way during the year. I mean, it sounds like they're a bunch of delinquents. Just the whole lot, the whole setup is just delinquents from top to bottom. Doesn't matter what level you're at. They're a bunch of delinquents. It's funny, I was in the office the other day and we were discussing, there was a lad showing me his grand final football game, but then we moved on to Sipley. So Sipley, who's coming to watch, and there's three lads sitting in the office who are all Manly fans. And Manly's run pretty professionally. It's funny talking to them because they have such a different concept of footy and rugby league. Like, they brush Super League, you know, away in 2 seconds, and they don't know anything about it. You know, they'll ask me three times during the year, "Who's your coach now?" And I say, "Oh, Burgess," and they go, "Oh, okay," and then they forget it, and you know, they go back to what they want to talk about. So they're discussing the footy. They're discussing that how many points Manly have to score this weekend, and how many the Roosters have to lose by exactly. But they bring up, lo and behold, they bring up this guy on the screen who's been done for another pip drop or whatever, Sipley. And he's, I didn't think
a bit
it was,
more like a cannonball, it looked
cannonball,
to me.
Was it? Sorry, cannonball, whatever it is. I don't know what the difference is, but, and I sort of look at it and go, yeah, he's probably guilty of that one. But unfortunately, he's got one earlier in the season that he didn't do, which he was banned for. So I think he's got a 4-match ban. And he's only got one game to go. And so he will be probably banned for 3 games at Warrington when he comes over. If I think he's, I'm not sure what he's done with the ban at the moment, whether he's actually trying to get off. He might have appealed. But anyway, so we're talking about him. And I said to them, I said, what do you make of him? And they're all like, oh, he's a good player. He's a good player. I said, does he do any minutes? And they're like, yeah, he does minutes as well. So I think we've got a really good signing there. And they said, who have you got there at the moment? What Aussies have you got there at the moment? And I said, oh, we've got Vaughan and Dufty. And one of them went, why would you sign those two? And then the other two just like start looking at me as if to say, who's running your club to sign those two? Like straight away reference checks that there's a bigger picture to what's going on the pitch. It's what goes on off the pitch.
Is that not indicative, though, of all the clubs and the signings of Australians?
A lot of them. But yeah. I don't think Radlinski's doing it. Having listened to Radlinski on that, he is ticking all the boxes. His reference checks and everything else that he is doing. And we talked about this with Field. Just get a different... And we just seem to don't really... We just brush aside any delinquents and just sign them. Now, he's been great for and on the field, but... He's got his little mate in tow off the field. It's all happening, isn't it? It's all happening.
Well, I mean, he's pretty much made his mind up now that he's probably going to be injured for the rest of the season, hasn't he? We're not going to see Vaughan again.
Yeah. I'm just looking here. Yes, you're right. 4 matches. It would have been 3 matches if he'd entered an early plea of guilty, but he didn't. So he was found guilty, got 4 matches, and yeah, it was for cannonball tackle. So basically going in at the knees.
Yeah. At least he bends his back much more than
to get to the knees.
So I think he's only got one more game at Manly. I think that's it. Now they're done. So he'll do 3 games at Warrington. Whether they, you know, the friendly against Runcorn Highfield will count. I don't know. But we'll see. Mm. But the other one who we should just probably mention is Pangai Junior, who, from what having watched, gone back and watched him this year, and you know, I've got the ability with KO to go and watch the games, and it was pointed out to me that he'd had a very good game against Warrington, and I agree, he did. He had a great game against Warrington. But nothing before the Warrington game surmounted to any sign of him playing well. And since the Warrington game, he hasn't played. Oh, he played one more game since.
He's down tools, hasn't he?
I think the Cassiano-Dudson narrative may well be there with Pangai Junior next year. Trust me, he'd play in a grand final. Put him in a grand final. You'll get 25 outstanding minutes out of him, but he's not turning up every week. No. And also, you know, going on national television and saying he doesn't like rugby league, he doesn't want to play. Is that not a red flag to the club? Dennis, could you imagine if you were employing an engineer and you were sent a video him saying, well, I've never wanted to be an engineer. I've always wanted to be a butcher and my mum and dad forced me into it. Would you put him forward as a candidate?
You know, I've got a feeling I'd probably order a couple of pork chops. Oh, dear. Jesus. Right, so from a disgruntled fan then, are you going to any more matches this year, Sam? Are we playing at home? I mean, I don't even know where we're playing.
Yeah, we're at home against Lee on Saturday. Ooh. And I've already been asked, do I want to go somewhere else? I'm currently weighing up my options.
I mean, there's been lots of booing and everything, so the crowd are not going to take a lot to get on top of the team, which isn't obviously going to help. And you'll be leading the boos, obviously, after 5 minutes. So,
well, no, I won't actually, Dennis. But I'm more of a hiss man, and you don't hear hiss. Oh. You don't hear a hiss very often. I always used to hear a boo followed by a hiss, and you don't hear that very often these days.
Are you trying to hide your piss at the same time? Is that what it is?
When I went with him, Dennis, he was pissed and he stood up and went the fucking wank at the top of his voice. I remember rightly.
Oh dear. It's going to be a tough game to get. Is that the last game, Sam? The lead, is it Lee, did you say?
No, we've then got Hull and Hull KR. But they'll be up for it. That's, I think, that more than anything to me. Yeah, I'm not angry, I'm just so disappointed. Against the top half teams, even though we've not had great results. You've seen we weren't questioning effort at all earlier in the year, were we? We weren't questioning commitment, and we ran close in a couple of the bigger games, and then in this last run of easier on paper fixtures, which I said if they get their attitude right, they could win 7 out of 8 here. Then what if they won three out of seven so far? That's what's so disappointing. That's more than anything.
Regards the betting, Sam, you know, because Dennis and I are flush. I mean, we've got that much money, it's ridiculous. But you were bankrupt after the Salford.
Yes.
What do you put
that's
down?
Excellent.
What do you put down your poor betting to this season? Where did you go wrong?
Where I've gone wrong is I've not followed my instinct that I have on the Super Brew game that I'm in, where I'm top, where I've often bet against Warrington, including as I sent to you, said, oh, I thought I was in the money, then I realised it was on the other game. I went for Huddersfield by 4 points.
Isn't it an irony that, like, the podcast finance guy is actually bankrupt? I mean, it's quite good, really.
I'd also say that his answer then was very it reminded me of Middleton when he gave his answer then. Like, yeah. I didn't really have a solution to why he'd lost his money.
It was just vagueness. Complete vagueness.
I think you'll find if it was real money, I wouldn't have been so... what's the word? I'd have been a lot frivolous. More conservative with it. Frivolous, yes.
Yes, well saved.
Thanks.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Wire centre Conor Rensch has announced his retirement from rugby league to pursue a new opportunity outside the game. Rensch leaves the sport aged just 23. Okay.
It's probably quite sensible. He's had a bad injury.
What is
he doing?
I don't know. I think butcher.
Oh, he's going to... That's the next line, I think.
Wish him all the best. Good luck, Conor. Good luck. Ben Curry and James Harrison will miss the rest of the season, with both requiring surgery. Curry needs surgery on a bicep, Harrison on his shoulders. They'll struggle to find his shoulders, won't they? They'll have to put...
Well, that's the butcher reference. I thought that sounded like bicep and butcher... What is it? Bicep and shoulder. Sounds like a new investigation series by a couple of butchers.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Anything on that, Sam? Anything on the injury front there? No?
I think...
I mean, Harrison's hardly played. He's been
in and out for several weeks, but we've talked about Curry this year, and perhaps he has been the one just holding us together.
Oh, dear.
Is bicep and shoulder respective of how you read the names out?
Why?
So is it Ben Curry and bicep and James Harrison and shoulder?
I think
Just to clarify.
I think so. Okay. I think that's the way it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Sam Burgess has confirmed his desire to keep both Sam Stone and Ryan Matteson at Warrington next season. Burgess was quoted as saying, "Hopefully time will sort things out. Ideally, it would be nice to keep them both."
Is that a herbal remedy? Hopefully time will sort things out. I mean, I usually use rosemary in my recovery drinks.
Wakefield Trinity head coach Darryl Powell has extended his contract with the Super League club for an additional 4 years. Daryl said, I have felt at home at this club since I arrived, and I'm really enjoying building something special in conjunction with owner Matt Ellis and his family.
Yeah, I like how he said building, and I did actually have a look at Matt Ellis. He runs DIY kitchens, and apparently he's very hands-on and manages everything but the kitchen sink. So
that's just him.
I did actually go and come in his house, so I've got an idea for you next season, Sam. Mm. What we should do is go and come in his house and look at the finances of each club. And I did have a look at this Matt Ellis. He's got a separate company to do, nothing to do with that. But I don't think he's got that much cash in the bank in 2023. Mm. So he's obviously, I don't know how that works. So I think next year you could do our financial analysis of every sort of owner of clubs as we play them. It's a good little section for you.
That could be a good section, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Behind the books with Sankey.
Yes. There you go. Behind the books.
He has a really good relationship with Matt Ellis. I'm not sure he had the best of relationships with Stuart Middleton.
Really? What makes you say that?
Just things that have come my way from numerous sources that...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he was...
source?
Yeah, exactly.
Martyr source?
Yeah, I don't think he was ever patted on the back by Stuart, put it that way.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I think I still say to this day, having spoken to Daryl at length, I think he had the right idea, and he was trying to iron out the delinquents, but he could only do so much, and then they turned against him. That was it. Mm. So,
talking of delinquents.
Here we go.
And finally, former Wire favourite Chris Sandow has been sentenced to prison after pleading guilty in court to a string of offences. The court heard that Sandow threw rocks at cars passing by the road in Riverview in Queensland in March, damaging two vehicles. Police then located Sandow with a rifle, a large hunting-style knife, ammunition and crystal meth. He's then understood to have resisted arrest.
As his agent, Rob, as you like to remind us, what's your official statement?
I mean, he's got a lot of initiative. There's more, he's got more sort of armoury in his offence there than in front of our whole team, hasn't he? I mean, he's just...
How many tackles did he break from the police?
Wow.
What a resisting arrest.
I mean, to be fair, if you're living in Riverview, every second person's got a rifle on them. I mean, you know, it's like America. That's just the way it is. They're all out shooting boar or whatever.
Where's this? Whereabouts is this? I don't want to be going in.
Well, I've told you this, Dennis. I've told you this. Jesus. Once you get about 2.5 hours north of Sydney, lock your doors.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You'll be all right. You're not going inland. You're not going whoop-whoop. If you get to Orange is quite nice. It's got a bit of a winery there, etc. And you've got Dubbo, which is the zoo. You're probably about 6 hours west of Sydney, and after that, lock your doors.
All right. Well, I don't think I'll go that way.
My favourite films is Jenny Agutter in Walkabout.
Oh, there we go.
I mean, I like her in American Werewolf in London, but you get to see all of it in Walkabout. So, want to hire from Blockbuster this weekend? Ah, dear. I tell you, how would we have gone with Sandow in the team this year? He'd have made a massive difference, wouldn't he? Like, he would have made a huge... We'd have won at Wembley with Sandow in the team, yeah?
Well, no one would have tackled him if he was carrying a rifle and a knife. No,
I mean, the Sandow we had, you bang him in that team at Wembley, win by 15 points, yeah?
Mm.
Good footy player, good player. Just a fucking nutter away from it. Okay, on to the Salford review. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
The team was Dufty, Josh Thulis. Duffy made his debut. King, Jake Thulis. Williams, Hayes, Yates, Walker, Thomas. Smith made his debut. Holroyd, Matteson. Interchange bench was Philbin. McKinney made his debut. Wood and Powell. Here's the highlights.
it away to Duffy. Duffy slices through. Duffy's got the pace straight past Walker.
You feel you're older than time.
They're going down that short side here. There's a pass. Here's Wilson. They're in this time.
If you've been away a while.
Here's the high kick. They're going chasing after it. Chamat May couldn't take it. Did he go backwards? It's play on. Sangare's going to score.
It's for the friends that you buy.
Last one. They wanted a six again. They don't get one. Williams going through hands, finds Hayes. Hayes is going to put the kick in behind. Desperate, desperate. Grounded the ball in the corner.
But I hope you know that it won't let go. It sticks around.
Mills finds Nicarimo. Gets it away. Here now is Walker. Gets it out wide. Ball back on the inside. Oh, he needed a pass. Gorman collects it. Gorman gets it away. Forward goes Lewis. Back to Gorman. Champagne stuff. Sangare for the double. He's in. What a try from Salford. Here now they go again. Bella finds Nicarima. Nicarima digs into the line. Chance in. Salford score again. Here's a drop goal from Mills to put the icing on the cake. He kicks it. Salford on their way to the third win of the season.
Alone on the stormy sky.
Final score. Warrington 12. Salford 25. There were tries for Dufty and Jake Thulis. His brother kicked two goals. Greek referee Skotolotis Mykonos. The attendance, I don't know what it was. I'm not writing it down.
It's not been released, or it hadn't been.
I'm not surprised.
Ooh.
Not surprised. Okay. Yeah.
Did everybody leave about 15 minutes before the end?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go, yeah. Sam?
Nope. I was given the loney puppy back.
How many, because you've got the season ticket, right? How many games have you missed this year?
Loads.
Oh, dear.
Three, I think.
Why are you getting one for next year? Then?
There'll be plenty of seats next year to sit in. I wouldn't need to worry about getting a seat.
Yeah, I've got plenty of options.
Yeah. did you watch it, Rob? I mean, I imagine you must have got up for this.
So, I think this was probably best summed up by that. Who was it? Was it Derek Fox who missed the goal in the water splash? And the commentator said, the poor lad.
Mm.
I think best summed up by the poor lad knocking himself out, going to charge the ball down 1 minute into his debut.
Oh, yeah.
And getting concussed.
Yeah, he didn't half get one in the face, didn't he?
Oh, dear. Mm.
Oh, dear. Mm. Any positives from this? Was there any standouts?
Go on, Sam.
I'm not necessarily going to say standout, but just physically, McKinney looked like he's got a decent. He's got
Is
some
he?
Decent size, but I couldn't tell you. Obviously, we need to see more of them. I nearly did what Stuart Middleton did and go to watch the reserves, was it reserves of the academy on the Saturday? Mm. Because I thought that was more telling, but never mind standouts. Huge disappointment on the way. I felt our captain just faded away.
Mm.
You know, I'm looking for more from Williams to lead us, and I think we just became more and more rudderless. I think him and Dufty were trying to do things on their own, not as a team.
Mm.
And to see Salford, who have played that lot, have played together hardly any times. If you had all the numbers up on the back, you got to about 700.
Oh, that would have been a good quiz.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I should have done it. And they must have had maybe three training sessions together, and they look more of a team than we've looked over the last 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that more than anything was just damning.
So we didn't see a lift from the Huddersfield game to the Salford game in any way. Rob, have you got any comments on the Salford game? I mean, you just sat there, because we can see you on your new HD camera now, so we can see you smiling as though like you're holding a shit in or something.
Highlight for me was Paul Vaughan doing a backflip off the pier at Windermere, really testing that hamstring.
Is it hamstring or is it his groin?
I don't know. Not sure what it is.
Nobody can put his hand on his groin, you say.
Sam, can you stand up and do a few backflips? See how your groin fares. You'll see how it goes.
Should we look at the stats?
It was shit. It was so poor.
I decided, and I sent a message that I was going to go out and get absolutely shit faced.
Rather
than watch the match, because I put the bet on last week and thought, actually, we're probably going to lose this. It's going to be a shit show. And it was. So
we got really bad odds on that Salford win.
Did we?
Yeah, because I put £200 on Salford winning or £100. I can't remember something what I put like on. That. But we only got 14-1. And then people were sending me screenshots who had Salford at 66-1.
You have to pick the winning margin.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, so 14-1 was correct then. All right, cool. Yeah. At the end of your money, you had 53p. You put all your money on Hayes to score the first try. How was Hayes? Because there's certain happy clappers that think Hayes is the future of Warrington Wolves. And I say to anyone who thinks Hayes is the future of Warrington Wolves knows fuck all about rugby league.
No. But, jury's out for me.
They give him 10 games. 7 years.
He gets 10 games fully fit.
He's not up to it. He's no way is he going to win you a Super League title. Not in a million years. God love him. He's come back from a horrendous injury, but he's not. He's just so far off NRL standard. So, and you need a decent scrum half. You need a decent scrum half.
Well, have we got anything that we can take out of this? Or is it all really in the summing up afterwards?
I got nothing on this at all. I mean, I didn't really. I've given up watching it. I mean, like I said, I've come through the other side. I just find this amusing, though. It's beyond a joke. That's what it's at. We're beyond a joke. Nothing's been done about it. So let's just have a laugh at it. That's the best way, isn't it? Not let it get you down.
All right.
Sam Burgess refused to talk to the Sky Sports cameras. He did, however, chat to Mark Wilson at the press conference after. Here, this is what Burgess had to say.
Is your future long-term here at Warrington?
I'm on contract for next year. I won't be looking. I mean, that's the contract at the moment, so I'll do my job and that'll be it.
We know, obviously, you did interview elsewhere. I mean, are you keen to leave?
I know where you're going. I know what you're trying to do. It's a fair question, but I did interview, we all know that, it's public. I'm not keen to leave, we're actually talking about staying longer, but that'll shock everyone as well. So, everything's just quiet for now. I'm here, I'm happy, I'm committed to what we're doing. I believe in this club, I believe in the structure of the place, I believe in our juniors, I believe in who we have here, all right? No doubt I've got some hard work to do over the off-season, no doubt about that. All right, but in the meantime, I've got to get some players ready to play next week against Lee, who looked extremely good last night. So if we don't find a bit of spirit somewhere, something to play for, it's going to be even harder next week.
So we're going to extend these contract, boys. Apparently, we're looking to. then there was a little giggle. His body language was very poor. He had his hand over his mouth. for numerous questions.
Yeah,
didn't believe in what he was saying. And then when he was asked that question, he then sat back in his seat. There was a huge discrepancy between what was coming out of his mouth and his body language. So,
yeah, gets very defensive.
But look, as still new, as Dennis said, he's still new into coaching and job and all that. But as new as he is, he's not daft. He's been around professional sport. He knows it's gone shit, and he knows his job's on the line. It's not much he can say in that position, is he, to a bunch of reporters? Unless he literally says, listen, guys, we all know we were shit, and if I don't get it sorted out, I'm out the door, but I'm going to try and sort it out. Maybe that's the way to go.
Why are we the guinea pigs?
Yeah. I also think it's now sort of obvious. I always like benchmark, like who's doing well and some of the coaches. And I can't keep mentioning him enough, but Brad Arthur at Leeds, I always remember it was about 6 or 7 weeks ago. Leeds won the game, but let 6 points in, and he was really annoyed, and he was like really sort of like, I'm not fucking happy, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and he doesn't strike me as being like that friendly with the players and saying the players should, like, you know, look to change things and be responsible. I'm like thinking, no, he just sort of says it as it is, and then that fucking tells him.
Do you think Dufty would be his best mate, like Burgess?
No, I've got a feeling he wouldn't. No.
What's he dancing to in Vegas, Brad Arthur?
I don't think he likes it. He'll sit at home with a cigar and classical music.
I think you put him in something like sequiny and really tight. I think he could do probably like Erasure or Pet Shop Boys, something like that. I could see him.
Well, there is always that possibility. He'd have to pierce his ear, I think. I think that's the thing. And I don't think that he has the experience to get himself out of it. And unfortunately, we're just going to continue with the same old, same old.
Mrs. London had guinea pig in Peru. Very bony guinea pig. Not much meat on it.
No.
Chairman Stuart Middleton said, I'm absolutely devastated. That was unacceptable. I was sat in my seat. It's past tense, Stuart. I was sitting in my seat, but never mind.
Yeah.
Watching the floodlights go out and thinking, what the hell has gone on? It's embarrassing as a fan and as a chairman, and it's not acceptable. I want some answers, so on Monday I'll be doing just that. Now, there's an excellent interview. I'm going to give Mike Parsnips a pat on the back. Because if you go on the Warrington Wolves website, the Warrington Guardian website, you can hear the full interview of Mike having a good dig at Middleton. And I liked it for once. It was finally a journalist putting someone under pressure. I think when we had Anderson on, Anderson had a bit of a vent about Mike Parsnips, hadn't he? Because he'd asked him some difficult questions. But that's what journalists are there to do. I won't play the whole interview. We'll leave that for the Warrington Guardian. But I will just play the last snippet when Mike asks him, is Sam's job on the line?
It would be wrong of me because the fans would want me to ask. So is Sam's job on the line?
As I say, at this stage, we're not making any knee-jerk reactions. Everyone is accountable in this club, you know, from me onwards. Downwards, everyone is accountable. And so, you know, everyone has got to be, you know, everyone's under pressure now. So, you know, we'll take it from there and see what the reaction is.
Well, there you have it.
Well, he says, things must change, right? And I'm pretty sure we'll get onto his statement post that. But what are things? You know, whenever these people talk, they always talk with this vagueness and nothing, there's nothing substantial to it. And it really annoys me is because when you listen to his statement afterwards, it's almost like, oh, everything's fine. We're going to stay, you know, we've got with this, that and the other. Things are going to change. If I had walked into a room in business and said, ah, well, things are going to change, I don't think I would end up in that job for much longer. I would have to have a list of actual things and things I'm going to achieve with targets, etc., blah, 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 blah. This is all bollocks. Everybody just saying things are going to change and, oh, I don't know what's going on. I've got, where's Sam? I've got Sam Burgess's thing somewhere. He comes back out and he says, if we don't find a bit of spirit somewhere and something to play for, it will be even harder next week. One of the other things I used to do when I was like managing people is forget about the detail. Don't even listen to it. I was just oblivious to it. But if you start of his sentence, if, so there you go, if, so are you not going to change it? Are you just going to expect it's going to change? Is something going to happen that's going to change? You're just putting it down to chance. And then the spirit of somewhere, so you've not really defined what that is. So you don't really know what somewhere is. It's just somewhere. And something, again, vagueness, something to play for. So this is the point I'm trying to make, is that I don't think he has the acumen to sort of sort this out or understand what the problem is. And a lot of these people, and actually, while I'm on a rant, who is the actual, who's in charge of the club? Director of rugby, Gary Chambers. CEO, Carl Fitzpatrick. Coach, Sam Burgess. Stuart Middleton, chairman. Who's responsible for all this? All of them are sort of getting involved, not involved. You don't get that at some of the other clubs, do you? You've already mentioned, what's his name, the ginger one at Wigan. He's sort of like on it, he's in charge, this, that and the other. This is the problem. It's just everybody is just like not having the responsibility. You need a strong leadership, and I agree, sack them all and start again. That's it. Yeah. Anybody else?
If's a poem by Kipling, isn't it? It's his famous poem.
Is it?
If. Yeah.
If. That's good. Do you think he's read that?
Do you want me to read his statement? Do you want me to bother?
Go on, read it.
Oh, God. Right. Well, first of all, it's all in capitals for fuck knows why. You'd have thought we'd be a little bit more professional than putting it in capitals, but there we go. Shall I read it as if I'm shouting then? Is that the way to do it? I don't know.
No, don't shout.
No.
Last week's performance hurt us all. This season has not met the standards we expect. Over the past few days, I've sat down with players, coaches and staff across the club. The message was clear and united. This is not good enough and things must change. No shit, Sherlock. Our supporters work hard all week and spend their hard-earned money to follow this club. We understand the sacrifices you make, and it is our responsibility to repay that faith with committed, honest performances. Sam Burgess has the full backing of the playing group. He will lead Warrington Wolves into 2026 as head coach. He is ambitious, driven, and determined to put things right. We remain committed to our vision of building a team founded on homegrown talent and, with our academy finishing the regular season unbeaten, the future looks bright. Recruitment is key and must be better, but let me be clear, there will be no passengers. Two new players have already been announced, with further updates to follow as change is implemented. We cannot overlook the impact injuries to key players have had on our season and the disruption this caused to our combinations. However, while it is a factor, this is no excuse. You, the fans, deserve better. This club does not exist without you. Now it is down to us to earn your support back, not with words, but with performances that reflect what this town and community stand for. Stuart Middleton, Chairman. There you have it.
Anybody else sort of happy with that? I mean, considering, like, here we go again. He comes out and says, like, I'm going to get some answers. Are there any answers in that statement for you, Sam?
For me, the best statement he made wasn't that one, which I suppose says the right things without saying anything. The best one for me was what he said without thought He says, I'll go and watch the academy on Saturday at Victoria Park. They're a breath of fresh air. I wish the first team was like them. They're putting in a lot of effort and enthusiasm, and they play with their hearts. I thought that one was the telling statement that by inference, he doesn't think the first team are putting in the full effort and enthusiasm and all the heart into it.
So did he answer the question in his last statement today?
I think Dennis, the last 5 minutes though, you've raised some good points, but also if they're keeping all three of the main coaches, Burgess, Marshall and Gleeson, which it appears they are, which I'm not overly keen on myself. But if they're keeping all three, there's only so much they can say in public about what's gone on, isn't there? You've got to keep some of it. And that's why you come out with a straight down the middle statement. We're not happy. Fine. Box ticked. Things have to change. Box half ticked, because you're not saying specifically what they are. The proof of it is if we still get some bad results, what things are going to change is what we said.
And just to make this clear, I'm not looking for anybody to be sacked anywhere. What I'm looking for is one person to be able to lead this club, and then one person to say exactly what's going to change. That's it. Yes. And I think that's what everybody wants an answer for. It's not a case of like, oh, sack him, sack there, this, that and the other. No, just be professional about how you actually conduct yourselves and give us answers. That's it. Rob, what do you think?
Well, I think they've all underperformed and they haven't been professional this year. You know, I mean, we've hardly touched on Gleeson. Gleeson looks like he needs a good wash. And there's been reports this weekend have come into me about him allegedly fucking around at reserve games with his mates. I just think, I mean, Smith got rid of him for one reason, didn't he? At one point, he was betting on his own team, yet we opened the doors to him at Warrington. There's just delinquents through and through. The answer lies, Middleton has no say. Ultimately, I know who has the autonomy over this club. There's only one person who rules this club, and that is Simon Moran. Simon Moran has the final decision on everything. Yeah. Ultimately, it's his decision. Now, I don't think he puts his fourth penny forward enough, and I think he lets them just run with it, and he's a super fan, and the reason this club still exists is because of Simon Moran. I think, and I wish I was as nice as Simon Moran, I think Simon Moran is too nice. I think he's such a lovely man, and I think maybe he doesn't need to be as lovely.
Well, or just have somebody working for him who isn't lovely.
Yeah. And until that changes, until that loveliness just slightly comes away, I don't think there's any hope for us.
I think the annoying thing is we're all sat here thinking 2026 is just going to, we know what's going to happen already. It's just a case of, right, that's why I asked Sam.
I'm thinking, when are we ever going to get out of this bleeding podcast and we're going to win the bleeding thing?
I know.
Just another think year. How rejuvenated you'll be when we win it, Sam. You'll be itching to come back the following year.
Yeah. All those years ago, can you just give me 5 minutes because you're going to the actual game?
Can I just say, Dennis, this is a man who's now throwing podcast work at me this week, getting me to sort out his second cousin's podcast for it. He's all at me now. Yes. Oh, yes. He's not mentioned that, has he?
I'm glad you've said that, because I've got a lovely message from you for you. Nice. Let me say it on air.
Are we plugging a podcast first, Sam? You've got to get the name in if you are.
I don't know what name she's calling it yet. But she said, amazing. Can you thank Rob?
Well, I'm not she really needs to get in contact with his Mrs. London. If she wants to go into the music industry, she's the girl to speak to.
Yes. Well, anyway, she thinks you're amazing. She doesn't know you. No. She doesn't know you yet, but, you know.
Is she in Moore Avenue?
I'm glad there's a distance before he starts. He's already started,
not,
look.
Not now.
Okay, because
that's where my cousins.
Mrs. were. London Senior, she sold her car, God love her, because my dad used to drive her everywhere. So she sold the car and she's gone out and bought herself a mobility scooter.
Oh,
but
excellent.
She can't get it down the side of the house. So this week, Thunderbirds are go. She's had an electric door put in on the garage.
Fantastic.
Sits in the charger so she can get down to the church, etc., and all these things. Yeah. However, she's having a huge issue with people in Moore Avenue who are parking their cars too far onto the pavement.
Does she go down the entry? Does she just
because
mobility?
She can't go down All Saints. All Saints Drive is steeper than the entry. There's dips on All Saints. So she's going down Moore Avenue, but unfortunately she can't get all the way along because there's cars parked too far into the pavement. So because Mrs. London Senior was born in Moss Side and grew up in Fallowfield before moving to Fletcher Street, she's got herself a bottle top and she's just putting it down the side of the cars as she goes down to the church. So,
straight into confession.
Straight into All Saints News.
Oh dear. Round 24 results. We're still going. Lee 4-6. Castleford 6. Hull KR 12. Saints 8. Hull 0. Leeds 34. Wakefield 48. Huddersfield 2. Catalans 4. Wigan 40. I've got the league table there, boys, of the last three of us. Warrington, we've won 10. We've lost 14. We've got a negative goal difference of minus 99. We've got 20 points. I think Hull KR have got 40. Hull are in 7th on 25. Wakefield now in 6th on 26. Mm. Do you want something to cheer us up?
Yes.
Oh, God.
All right, Nigel, I'm going to go backstage. Oh, I'm right behind you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, that's it. Oh, yes. Oh, Nigel. Oh, what a cleft. I haven't seen anything like it since Cheddar Gorge. Oh, yes. I can see the event horizon. Oh, yes.
Roll four. Are you in there?
Quick, Nigel, quick. Get into the bathroom, if you can fit through the door. I'll come in, Samuel.
Your champagne, Lalfred?
Thank you very much, Samuel. If you could just leave it on the table, please.
Right, and you'll just be needing the one glass, Lalfred?
Yes, just the one glass.
Oh, you're drinking it on your own, are you?
Oh, yes. Well, I guess I have to. Good night, Samuel.
Good night, Rolfo. Good night. Walker. Quick. Fetch the ladder. Right, if I'm going down this season, so are you, Rimmer.
Mrs. Bukes, he's fallen.
Who, Walker?
Samuel, he's crazy about seeing Rimmer in room.
Oh, hello, Gemma.
How dare you?
What on earth are you doing?
Honestly, Samuel, do you really think the new head of Stardia Strategy and Beyond
building the future of Huddersfield Giants would really be interested in a washed-up coach like you.
I'm not interested in Rimmer. He smuggled Sir Nigel Wood into his room. You know how Super League has a strict policy of only consensual activity behind the back of Greg's. Oh, I just hope he's taking precautions.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Look, stand there. I'll prove to you.
Yes, what is it now, Samuel?
Are you aware of the Super League policy of no sexual encounters other than behind the back of Greg's?
I am, yes. Although, if you're referring to Sir Nigel, he'd never make it past the front door of the bakery.
So you admit it, Ralpho. You admit it. You just didn't believe in my keeping everything the same coaching strategy. And now you've gone and slept with someone at the RFL to squeeze us in the top six playoffs.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. It's me mother you can hear.
Oh, I see. This bit of crumpet's your old mummy.
Yes.
Oh, this is rich. This is really rich. Old Mother Rimmer popped up for a quickie, did she? May I meet her?
Certainly, Samuel.
Mother Rimmer, come out, wherever you are.
Oh, hello.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Rimmer? Are you enjoying your stay?
Oh, tackle sacks. Oh, quick, Master Walker. Go call Professor Broomhead. There's enough material for him here for an entire conference.
Right. Excuse me a second. I just need to find it.
Yeah, okay.
Just need to find it. So, because it's been passed by the lawyers.
Oh,
For those of you who listened to that, just a reminder that any opinions, statements, or claims made by that were by Rob and Dennis alone. They do not represent the views of Sam Sankey. I can't verify the accuracy of anything that went on, and I cannot accept any responsibility for what went on in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, but did you enjoy it, though, Sam?
What I was trying to remember was that what actually happened with that young couple in Fawlty Towers who you thought were getting up to no good. And that's what I was. Couldn't remember the actual episode of Fawlty Towers.
Psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Mm. Ah.
Mm. The bloke that smuggled in the original, the bloke that smuggles the girl into the room. Yeah, and then
here we go.
And then and he goes pretentious. Moi, him. He's dead.
Yes.
Mm. Oh yeah, I'm surprised we didn't have the rundown in the green room at the beginning of all the people that were dead. But Rob was sending me messages on everyone on Fawlty Towers who's now dead.
He'd be 80 if he was still alive.
Oh,
Jesus.
Mm. Oh well, I'm glad we got that episode out the way. Anyway, I don't know who was listening to that when we were recording.
I got quite aroused when Dennis sent the recording through.
Five, four, three, two, one. Tackle sacks, a go.
Right, even I've had enough. You know what? Firstly, I'm saving the tackle bags for the end now of the cheerleader tackle bags. It's still actually in whether we can do it or not. We've got to have a word with the lawyer. Right, but tackle sags, and in terms of numbers, I mean, it's a bit of an accumulation here, boys, over the course of the two games, but I think we could just summarise it. Both games were shit. But straight off the bat, Holroyd gets 10 points for a sin bin. So it's the first time. You mentioned it, Sam. We have got a good record in terms of discipline. I don't think we've had that many people sent off because I've got that as one of the criteria for picking up points. Sin bin shagger, I called it. And it's worth 10 points. So Holroyd gets that. I've allocated, so I'm going to give my points out now. Philbin gets 9 points. He's 7.4 metres average, but he's a chocolate fire guard in some of his defence. I think I watched him on one of them. I think it was Salford's last try. What's the point? I've also gone for the coaches, Rob. On the league table, just a couple of facts on the league table. Gleeson's only got 1 point at the moment as way back, yeah. And he's only got 1 point. And
Put two zeros behind it. I'll give him 99 points.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Sam's giving points. I like this.
I've not finished yet. Mattison's the only player with 0 points. Which is good, isn't it? Probably, I've given Gleeson 9 points, tin pot attack. So he's already up to 10. And I've also given Middleton 13 points because he's an idiot. just the way that he proposed. On one hand, I'm going to get answers and then comes back with no answers.
Could he have done it any worse than he's done it? If you said to someone, right, I really want you to fuck up in the next 48 hours from the minute the match finishes to writing a statement and also talking to the... Could it have been any worse?
No.
Seriously.
After he did the first thing that he put out, I said immediately, that is absolutely ridiculous. You don't want to say that. And then he's come back and it's just a farce now. So, yeah, he's 13 points. The other thing I've noted down on this before we get into your points, is there a defensive coach at Warrington? Now, if there is,
Barry Cooper.
Did they leave? Because last year we had one of the best defences and this year it's absolutely shite. I mean, Barry Cooper, are you the coaches? Oh, have you? Jesus Christ. So we don't have a defensive coach. Is that right?
We've got loads of coaches. Sam's been on the site this week to see how many. We've got more coaches than players. There's millions of them.
Is there? Yeah. Right. Anyway, Sam, give us your points.
Oh, God. So you've given Gleeson 9 points, takes him to 10, haven't you? Well, I'll give him 90 to take him to 100. Marshall's not got any points, is he not?
No, Marshall's not on the list.
He can have 100 then, so he's the same as Gleeson.
Can I ask who's the bloke? You know when they go up to what we used to call the twat cabin when Smith was was in charge. What was his name? Price. We used to call it remember that. Now when you go up to it, they all look absolutely, don't they? They just look defeated when they go up to that box. It doesn't look like the kind of group. If you put them on only connect, I'm fearing they're not getting any points. You know, there's just that feeling about them. But who's the sort of stunned mullet with the laptop that's next to Burgess the whole time? Who's that? He's like young. There's a young lad.
I don't know.
He sits there on his
lap. Give him points.
Yeah, give him some points. Give him
young
some points.
Young lad
on laptop. Is that who it is?
Mick Murphy.
Yeah, give him Mick Murphy. Give him a point.
Might not be.
1 point.
Tom Ashton. Okay. We've got Sam Burgess, Gary Chambers, Martin Gleeson, Richard Marshall, Nick Murphy, Eddie Gardner, Kylie Luluai, not strictly a coach, Greg Glaze, Liam Myler, Adam Gummerson, Tom Ashton, Pete Moran, Bob Moore, Ewan Atkinson, Ryan O'Brien, and Kieran Bellamy, all part of the coaching setup.
I think we need some more coaches. Jeez. Put down a memo for next year, Dennis. Another 20 coaches needed for success.
Rob, have you got any points you'd like to
give? Come on, we've got to give Middleton some points, haven't we? What's the maximum points you can give in a week?
Well, I mean, Sam's give it 90 and 100. I feel that this is... I mean, Burgess is on 72, so, you know, I think 100 points is...
Well, he needs 28, then. Right. He needs 28.
Burgess wants 28. Okay, you got his non-stop. Have you got... So how many Middleton?
Well, I'll give 20 to Middleton. There you go, other 20. What's Middleton on now?
He's on 33.
Okay. The answer to the universe and everything, of course, is 42, isn't it? So can I give Burgess? Can I give Burgess 42 points? That was it. Okay. Yeah. I'll give Gleeson a good 10 points. He needs to have a wash.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
Yeah. Marshall can have 5.
Oh, you're giving him as well.
Yeah. Right. Marshall can have 5. Can you give Holroyd another 5 for the tackle at Huddersfield? Can you give Jake Foulis 3 for his tackle in the corner? Give that one as well.
Did you know that Jake Foulis has got 5 points and his mum has got 11.68 still? So just thought I'd point that out there. Sam the other way. That's it for Tackle Sags. I mean, Jesus, the way this is going, we've got most of the coaching staff now and the management of Warrington at the top.
Would you like to know some? Can I just offer a couple of the titles of these guys? So a bit further out. So Tom Ashton is our sports scientist. And then Ewan Atkinson is our lead soft tissue therapist and medical admin.
Who's in charge of team day outs, like to Chester races? Because that wasn't cancelled, was it, the day after the Salford match?
No. So Ryan O'Brien is currently head of youth. So with the academy team doing well, he can't have any points at the minute.
Yeah. So the soft tissue guy, what was his name again?
Ewan Atkinson. And I think the young lad you're on about in the box must be Kieran Bellamy, who is performance analysis.
Oh, there you go. He needs a bigger laptop.
How could we monitor soft tissue as a KPI? I'm just wondering what that would look like. Anybody got any ideas?
No,
you don't, dear.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two utterly pointless September fixtures to predict. Firstly, it's a 3 p.m. kickoff this Saturday at the HJ against Lee. Then the following weekend, another Saturday, 3 o'clock start, this time away at Hull. Now, Dennis, you had a nice little win, £210. Takes your total up to £360.43. I won £280. I'm on £466.87. Unfortunately, Sam's lost all his money. So are we going to give him a loan? What do you think? What APR rate? I think 35% APR, I think is.
Yeah.
Also, has he got any assets? What's he putting down? What has he got any collateral to sort of? What's he got? What can you offer, Sam?
I'll put down this stapler. It's an antique from Lloyd's Bank, circa 1989.
Oh, okay. It's probably stolen.
Gets for about 30 pieces of paper.
Hmm.
Have you got a wire shirt that you would be looking to give up? Which is your worst wire shirt that you would like put up as collateral?
The worst one is probably one of the best as well, in terms of the difference, and it would be the MDNA one, the multicolored swap shop one.
It's nothing to do with MDNA? Drugs.
Yeah.
You're talking about drugs, aren't you? Yeah. Forget that.
What about one night with your wife?
It's a good job there's miles between us.
Thought you'd giving me some money, not me giving you some.
Oh, you have to delete that out. Gee, Mrs. Sankey hears that derogatory mark from Mr. Sankey.
She doesn't listen. She listened to the first two episodes 7 years ago.
Nobody's listening now, anyway. Nobody's listening now.
Just the three of us.
Just us three wittering on and just having these fictitious bets. Who are we betting against? Who are we playing? Lee. Right, I'm going to have £5 on
Luke Gates. I've got to write this down. Fuck's sake.
Yes. You don't listen back to this, so I mean that's how bad it is. You've got to write it down. £5 on Luke Yates, and I think I might go for £40 on Lee.
Oh, okay. Sam, are you bothering?
Zero money, but I'm going to say Thewlis to score either one.
All right.
50p each way.
I'll go a fiver on Mattison, because he still can be asked, and I'll have £400 on Lee. Right, Hull away, Dennis.
Hull away. Right. Well, I can't think of who will be playing that week because he might have half the academy in there. Who knows? So I'll say £5 Luke Yates. But then, is this the second to last, penultimate game?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if I've got that much money left, I'll have £100 on Warrington.
Oh.
Okay. All right. I'll get £5 on Mattison and we'll work on the assumption I too have money. And I'll go £500 on Hull. Okay, that's it. We'll be back before a quick finish to Warrington's season. So until then, it's a premature goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
An early bath from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
And a coming too soon from me. Story of my life. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Should we see if we can get Stuart Middleton on?
And it took you 5 whole minutes to pack us up and leave me with it, holding all this love out here in the hall. I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. You're not my homeland anymore. So what am I defending now? You were my town, now I'm in exile seeing you out. I think I've seen this film before.